in looking at the holiday of Shavuot, we find something very fascinating about the time that the Torah itself was given. We know that the way it worked out during the Jewish calendar week is very similar to this year. And in fact, they say that the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim, Birkas HaChama, was like this year on a Wednesday. We know Klal Yisrael, the 15th day of Nisan, was on a Thursday, right? Pesach, Wednesday night and Thursday. And we know the Rosh Chodesh Nisan was a Sunday. And therefore, Vav Sivan, the 50th day after counting 49 days, should be that the Torah should have been given on a Friday, which indeed is what we have this year. Vav Sivan, Shavuos, Thursday night, Friday, at least the first day of Shavuos, is a Friday. And in fact, that was the original plan of creation, as we find in source number 3, on the Pasuk, in the beginning of the story of Breishit, Vayera, Vayibokir, Yom HaShishi, and it was evening and it was morning, it was Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. Rashi brings down from our rabbis, it was on this day that the whole world was waiting for that great moment, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of Nisan, a Shishi, a Friday, for the world was waiting for the Jewish people to accept the Torah. And if the Jewish people would not accept the Torah on this day, the world would go back, would revert back to Tohu Vavohu. Everything was ready for Vav, Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, the Friday for the Jewish people to receive the Torah. And yet we find the Gemara tells us, and this is source number 4a, that everyone agrees, B'Shabbos nitna Torah, that on Shabbos the Torah was given. It wasn't given on the 50th day of the Omer, it was given on the 51st day of the Omer. Moshe Rabbeinu adds, and this is again source 4, he adds one of the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu does that Hashem agrees to, is he adds an extra day of preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. And instead of Hashem coming down on Friday, Hashem comes down on Shabbos. So then a number of questions ensue. Question number 1, which is source number 1, and that is, Ma ra'a Moshe l'nachon la'sot davar shelo yitzavah bo v'losif yom echad medato. A technical question. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu doing something that he was not commanded to do? Why is he adding this extra day? Question number 2. If the whole world is waiting for the acceptance of the Torah on Friday, it's almost how dare Moshe Rabbeinu push it off to Shabbos, to an extra day. The whole world has been waiting from Brias Olam for Yom HaShishi for this Friday. And the third question, which is a very famous question of the Magen Avraham, if the Torah was given on the seventh day of Sivan, and Shabbos, the 51st day of the Omer, then how do we in our davening, in our Kiddush, say on the sixth day of Sivan, Zman Matan Tartenu, the time you received the Torah? We didn't receive the Torah on the sixth day, we received the Torah on the seventh day. How can we say something which is historically not true? And indeed, there are a number of commentators who explain that this is perhaps, helps the people out in Chutz Laaretz, that indeed they are celebrating it the second day, on the correct day, Zayin Sivan. But nevertheless, for those of us who have the schutz of living in Eretz Yisrael, and for the first day of Shavuot, how can you say, Zman Matan Torateinu, the time we received the Torah, when indeed we did not receive the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan? There are many answers to these questions. I'd like to look at 3. The first, just very briefly, just to round out our picture, and the other 2 to develop and to really see from this a mindset in how we can approach Shavuos this year, perhaps a little bit differently, a little bit deeper than in the past, by expanding our reality. The approach that Talmudot B'Yadot brings in source number 5 from Maharal Tzonis is the following. The Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asked the Jewish people, do you want to accept the Torah? So in this crucial week, before receiving of the Torah, the people responded, Na'aseh v'nishma, we're ready. There was an agreeable, a ratzon, a desirable acquiescence to receive the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that at the actual moment, when Kafa Aleim Har Kigigis, when Hashem would be holding the mountain over their head like a barrel, that the Jewish people, with the extreme sensation of receiving the Torah with this extreme revelation that perhaps they would change their mind and say, this is too overwhelming for us. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that if this experience, that Jewish people would be frightened and they would want to retract on the receiving of the Torah, then not only would it be have implications for the Jewish people, but if this retraction were to happen on Yom HaShishi, on Vav Sivan, on the day that God intended to give the Torah, not only would the repercussions be for the Jewish people, there would be repercussions for the whole world. The whole world would turn into tohu vavohu, into void and nothingness. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that the 6 day should go by in peace, that nothing should happen. Let's leave everything alone. Let's just assume that the Jewish people are holding on to their Na'aseh V'Nishma, the original acceptance. So therefore, if the 6 day passes by in peace, then the world is not in danger. And then on the 7th day, on Shabbos, then if the Jewish people would retract, it would only have implications for the Jews and not for the whole world. We, however, say that the 6 day is Man Matan Torah Teinu because the 6 day we were still holding by our original Na'aseh V'Nishma, our acceptance of the Torah B'Ratzon. While on the 7th day we were coerced, the mountain was held over our head. So the 7th day is remembering the coercion of Mount Sinai. The 6 day is recalling how we accepted the Torah out of Ratzon, out of desire. And it's that acceptance of the Torah that we're focusing in on, and that's what we say, Zman Matan Torah Teinu, that this was a day originally set up to receive the Torah, and this is the day that the Jewish people were still holding by accepting the Torah out of Ratzon, out of desire. That's one approach. The second approach is based on a fantastic insight, a very long essay that we've distilled down from a Sefer L'Machara Atir by Rav Moshe Breslover. And he says, if you take a look at the counting, at the psukim that describe the counting of Sfiras HaOmer, in source number 7, you find something very fascinating. The Torah tells us, Usfartem lachem imacharat ha-Shabbat, and you shall count from the day after Shabbat, the day after Pesach, miyom haviyachem et Omer tenufa, from the day that you bring the Omer wave offering, you should count Sheva Shabbato tiyena. You should Sheva Shabbato Tmimo Tiona, 7 complete weeks, which we know is 49 days. 7 weeks, seven days in a week, 7 complete weeks, 49 days. You should count Ad Mimacharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it, until the end of the 7th week, Tisapru Chamishim Yom. And then, V'ikraft Mincha Chadash Al Hashem. Then you count Tisapru Chamishim Yom, 50 days, and you bring a Mincha Chadasha, a new offering to Hashem. So here the Machar Atir quotes a very fascinating idea based on the Oneg Yontif. The Oneg Yontif notes that there are really two types of counting that are going on here. There's a count of Sheva Shabbatos Tmimos, a count of the 49 days, and then there's a separate count called Chamishim Yom, 50 days. A lot of the Mefarshim, like Rashi and others, saying it's not that 50 days is a separate count. It means you should count 49 complete days, and then on the 50th day, you bring the Mincha Chadasha. And that's general pshat. That's not two separate counts. But if you were to look at the pshat of the Chumash, you could learn it such a way that there's a count called Sheva Shabbatos Tmimos, a count called 7 complete weeks, and then there's a count called Chamishim Yom, 50 days. So you'll ask ourselves, what? There are two counts going on, a 49-day count, a 50-day count. How are we to explain this? So he says very beautifully in source number 10 that there are really two types of count going on here. The first count, the 49 days, is counted, third line in 10, Ela shamem tadyom mechashvim imacharat ha-Pesach. We begin counting from the day after Pesach, haynu miyom tetzayim, from the 16th day of Nisan. And the other count, the count of the 50 days, is counted from Pesach itself. You're right. Both counts end on day 50. Both counts end on Vav Sivan. It's just the question of where do you begin counting? Do I begin counting from Pesach itself? Pesach is day number 1, the 15th of Nisan. Or do we begin counting from the day after Pesach? So explains there in Yanta from Achara, it's here, quote, that indeed there are two counts going on. There's a 50-day count from Pesach and a 49-day count from the day after Pesach. And because there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim which describes source number 10, that kitapuach betzei hayar kein dodi ben habanim, that we are compared to like the tapuach, the etrog, which is found in the forests of in the trees of the forest. Just like this tapuach, from the time that it begins blossoming until the fruits come out is 50 days, so too from the time the Jews left Egypt until the time they got Torah is 50 days. There's something significant about counting from Pesach itself, not the day after Pesach, but something about Pesach itself counting 50 days. And therefore, says the Onig Yontif, when we left Egypt, we were not yet freed that night. We only got freed, and this is source number 11, we only got freed in the morning. And therefore, since we only got freed in the morning, that day doesn't really count as a full day for the 50 days. Because it wasn't a full day since Pesach, because Pesach really wasn't ours that entire day. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu understanding, and we'll talk about in a minute, Bezrat Hashem, the significance of 50. Moshe Rabbeinu understanding that you need to have 50 complete days from Pesach, and we don't have 50 complete days from Pesach because we only started counting from the morning and not from the night, and a full day is night and then morning. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says we need to add one more day. We need to give the Torah on day 51, which is really 50 complete days from Pesach. However, for us, in our count, since we do have, when we celebrate Pesach, the complete Pesach, the night and the day are free. It belongs to us, so to speak. So then we count 50 days, and then the 50th day, Vav Sivan, is Man Matan Torah Teinu. It's the time we receive the Torah. Because as we know, the Torah never tells us a date. It never says, Vav Sivan, we got the Torah, Zayin Sivan, Hey Sivan. It just says day number 50. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that you need to have 50 complete days. In his time, it was day 51, which was the seventh day of Sivan. And in our time, it's the 50 days lands on Vav Sivan. So is it Zman Matan Torah Teinu? The answer is emphatically yes. Historically, we didn't get the Torah. Great. But the whole Torah is predicated on getting it 50 days after Pesach. And since that's what they needed, 50 complete days, when we have our 50 complete days, which is Vav Sivan, it is indeed considered Zman Matan Torah Teinu, the time we receive the Torah. Now, the obvious question is, well, what is the difference between the 50-day count and the 49-day count? And indeed, he notes with a lot of textual proofs that although the Torah specifically says at the 49-day count, the count from the day of the bringing of the Omer, the day after Pesach, has to be articulated, the 50-day count is only b'machshava in the world of thought. But when you count the 49 days, you should have in mind the 50-day count as well. I can just say personally, it's hard enough for me to keep track of the 49-day count. I appreciate the fact that I don't have to deal with the 49-day count or the 50-day count. It's a little bit overwhelming. So the 50-day count is a machshava. We should keep in mind this is how many days since Pesach itself. I can add one. That I can handle. And the 49-day count is what we articulate. What's the difference? So he notes that it's really based on the difference between the number 7 and the number 8. The number 7, as we know in source number 13, the Kvar Amru Chazal Shemitzbar Sheva Hu Kiyum V'Kiddush Olam Hazeh. The number 7 is sanctification and the establishment of holiness in this world. Shvua Mishora Sheva. The concept of an oath comes from the concept of Sheva, of 7. And Unklus translates it V'Targume Kayoma, that which is established. The 7 days is that which is established of the Kedusha, of the holiness in this world. Me'idach, on the other hand, Hashmona, 8, Shume'ever L'sheva, which is one beyond 7, which is likewise V'chein HaChamishim, Shume'ever l'sheva pamim sheva, which is 7 times 7. Above 7 times 7, it's the number beyond. 50 is beyond 49, like 8 is beyond 7. Misamim et shleimut ha-kedusha represents the wholeness of kedusha. Hadveikus b'kodesh b'ruach hu, clinging to Hashem. It's the olam haba, it's the next world. The olam hanetzach, the world of eternity. Olam shekula ruchnius, the world that is complete ruchnius, complete spirituality. Im kedushat hasheva. He me'ein olam haba, if 7 is like the world to come, then the kedusha of shmona, he olam haba batzmo, 8, 50, is olam haba itself. And that's the idea by a korban. 7 days it'll be with its mother, and the 8th day you give it to God. 7 is this world of kedusha, of holiness. 8 is above this world. It's the olam hanetzach, it's the world of eternity. And that's why in 14, that 8 and 50 are very much connected. The kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim, the yovel, is that level of holiness. It's beyond the 49. And that's why he explains, which I found very interesting, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve the 49 levels of understanding. He couldn't in this world achieve that level of 50. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is buried on, or dies on the mountain called Har Nevo. Nevo, Nun Bed Vav, really could stand for Nun Bo, the level Nun. That 50th level Bo is found within this mountain. It was only when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, when he leaves this world, when he enters into a different domain, is he able to reach the level of 50 of the next world. What is the difference between the count of the 49 days and the count of the 50 days? It's really best understood in the fact that there are really two aspects that are going on at the time of Matan Torah. And this is described in source number 15. We speak about in our davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us both the Torah, L'lame la'amcha Torah u'mitzvot. Torah u'mitzvot chukim mishpatim marata. The Torah belongs to the olam ha-machshava, the olam ha-ruchani, while the mitzvot are based on the olam ha-siya, the olam ha-maisa. See, we normally understand that on Shavuos, we were given a system called Torah and Mitzvot, and we lumped the two together. In reality, there are two separate experiences. There is the experience of Torah. Torah is the world of Machshava, the world of the mind, and that's why Torah is created even before the world is created. And then there's a separate entity called Mitzvot, commandments. And the commandments are found very much in this world. The mitzvot, the commandments, are connected to 7, and Torah is connected to number 8, the number 50. And that is why he notes in source number 16 that when we start counting the 49 days, we count it from bringing the Omer. We count it from the moment of the mitzvah of Havas Omer. The mitzvah of bringing the omer, which is the barley food, which represents the animal part of us that needs to be elevated. And it's elevated through doing mitzvos. It's elevated through being able, through mitzvos, to connect to God. And ultimately, we then bring the shtei halechem, the two loaves of bread, on the shulchan, on the showbread. And the showbread is across from the menorah, which has the 7 parts of the candelabra, because our showbread has meaning. Our mitzvos, our elevation, the physical world has meaning in the world of 7, in the world of Torah, in the system of Torah. But this is kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. The mitzvos are referred to the neiros, the candles. It's the specific, it's the details. So we need to connect the 49 days, the world of mitzvos, the world of bringing the Omer, the world of elevating ourselves to Mamad Har Sinai, to receiving of the Torah. Because the world is about taking the world of 7, taking the Olam HaMaisa, the world of doing, and elevating to God. But then there's another world. And that's the world of 50, which we don't begin counting from the bringing of the Korban Omer, but we begin counting source 17 from Pesach itself. What happened on Pesach? Liberation. But we know that we're only truly liberated when we accept the yoke of Torah. And therefore, when we count 50, we're counting also toward Shavuot. But it's not about the details of the mitzvos. It's about the larger picture of liberation, that now we are free because now we are embracing a lifestyle called Torah. And this lifestyle of Torah is the Olam HaMachshava, the world of thought. It's a world that you can't count, it can't be articulated. And it's this world that bridges Pesach to Shavuot. It's a world of 50. It's a world of freedom. It's a world of redemption. It's a world in its own right of Olam Haba, of the world to come. And therefore we see that on Shavuot we really got two systems. We got Torah and we got mitzvos. And as Rav Rice points out in source number 18, he says, if a person believes that the two are interconnected, that receiving of the Torah is just reflected in how many mitzvot say positive mitzvot we have, and how many mitzvot lota say negative mitzvot we have, that is, he says, shitchit. That is very superficial. Because he says, you cannot compare the life of somebody who has Torah to the life of somebody who doesn't have Torah. Zehu ora chayim b'maslul shoneh l'chalutin, in the double underline, it's a completely different lifestyle. It's the idea that the Kotzker Rebbe points out in 18 on the verse, Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem, that the heavens belong to God, Va'aretz Latan Livnei Adam, and the earth belongs to us. The job of a Jew is to elevate the earth and make it godly. It's to be able to bridge the gap, what the Medrash speaks about. The beauty of Mount Sinai was the experience where the upper worlds came down to the lower worlds, and the lower worlds came up to the upper worlds. You know what it means? It means that we're not just talking about that Imam at our Sinai receiving the Torah, we received law of this is how you need to act. Do A, B, and C, and don't do R, F, etc. No. Yes, that is true, but no. It is much more than that. Torah is not just mitzvos. It is an all-encompassing mindset on how we view the world, on how we elevate the world, on how we're mekadesh this world, on how, on areas where we're not commanded. How do we think? How do we react? How do we interact? All of this is the gestalt, it's the Weltanschauung of what a Jew is about. And that explains the Medrash so much deeper. Where the Medrash describes, why do we read the book of Rut on Shavuos? It doesn't teach us halachas, it doesn't teach us what to do, what not to do. So why do we have it? To teach us, says the Medrash, the reward of those who do acts of kindness. This Medrash is tapping into our concept here. Torah is not just about do's and don'ts. Torah is about a way of life, how to approach life, how to be about chesed, how to be a person whose whole essence is about kindness. And with this, we can appreciate the Lekach V'Libuv in 22, where the Medrash tells us that when Naomi is telling Ruth a number of the mitzvos, she says it's not the ways of Jewish girls to sleep in a house that doesn't have a mezuzah. So the Radal of Parshan on the Medrash says it's specifically to sleep, because even in our sleep, we're connected to mitzvos. It's our entire being. But ask the Lekach V'Libuv, hold on a second. There's no such mitzvah that you have to sleep in a room which has a mezuzah. How many times do we go to hotels around the world? There's no mezuzah there. It's not a question of a halacha. You could sleep in a room without a mezuzah. But rather, rakachaya hergeshalahem. That was their feeling. How can you sleep in a room without a mezuzah? The gam zehu chelak ma'geirus. This is part of the conversion. Lichyot im hergeshim shel yehudi. To live a life feeling the feelings of a Jew, where he notes in 24 of Kol Hayah Vizek Yisod Kol Hayadus. You want to know what Judaism is about? Leida to know ki Yadut Hiavodah Shel. Judaism is Kafdal Shaot Bayom, 24 hours Kol Yimot Hashavua, 24/7. V'mechayev Hadam bechol Hanagato bebeito bebeit behilucho v'lo rak lizaher mitorim chamurim k'mo umos haolam. Yes, there's a count of the 49. Yes, we articulate that count. Yes, it's a world of the seven. It's a world of down here. It's kayama. It's alive. And yes, on Shavuos we got the Torah, which was mitzvos. But something much more profound happened. We needed to have 50 days to enter into a different domain. Moshe Rabbeinu appreciates those 50 days and therefore has to add a day. It's a time where we enter into the domain of being transformed, and this is what happens to us every Shavuos. We are like a katan shenola dami. We are like reborn. That we enter into, what does it mean to think like a Jew, to act like a Jew, to live like a Jew? You know, it's interesting. The Lech Rachva Lipov shares a maisa here, a story of a that he heard at a Torah Masorah convention of a boy who, it's clear, was living in the sticks. The way I define the sticks, being a New Yorker, is anywhere outside of New York. That's a good definition of the sticks. But it doesn't say where this boy lived. And he was sent to a Jewish day school. And his first grade teacher taught him about how you put on your shoes in the morning, the right foot, the left foot, you tied the left foot, you tied the right foot. And the little six-year-old boy comes home and tells his mommy, you know, mommy, we learned how to put on our shoes and tie our shoes. So the mother's irate. This is what you're learning. This is irrelevant to your life. Takes him out of school, sends him to public school. And the ways of this little boy is the ways of many, unfortunately, public school students. We now jump the clock many years later, and it's on the day of his intended marriage to a Goya, to a non-Jew. And on this fateful day, he says to himself, I am about to marry out of my religion. And he goes back to his first grade teacher. He says, I'm marrying out of a religion that is so detail-oriented, that is focusing on all aspects of my life. And I'm entering into a domain that really doesn't take over this type of mindset. He broke off the wedding, and he returned to a life of Torah mitzvos. That's what it's about. The challenge is from to move from 7 to 8 and 8 to 7, to have both counts. To understand that it's not enough just to think like a Jew and have a good Jewish heart, but you need to have the 49 days, you need to have the world of mitzvos. And to understand that the world of mitzvos is not enough alone. It's not just about how to put on my shoe. But that tells me about what it means to think like a Jew, to act like a Jew. My entire being has that focus. And that's what we got on Shavuos. We got the technical law as well as the transformation that my entire essence and being will think along different lines, will have a sensitivity along different lines, and that when people interact with me, they know that they're interacting with a person who has this Olam Haba, this Nitzchios, this world of 8, this world of 50 about them. Their word is their word, their integrity is their integrity, and their sensitivity is outstanding. I was just out here personally, before moving to the next level. This particular piece solved for me a personal dilemma that I happened to be going through just last week. I just sent, we have on staff a social worker on our seminary, and I just sent her an email almost expressing a certain frustration that I have. Where Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of students who I'm in email contact with, a lot of alumni, and very often they're writing me questions that I feel have a psychological component to them more than a spiritual component. So if a girl's asking, for example, you know, how do I manage to keep up my Torah mitzvot for my davening with Kavana? Okay, that's a spiritual question. But when girls are asking about, you know, domineering mothers and about anxieties and about depressions and about, you know, all of these issues, I feel these are psychological issues. I'm not the address to turn to. So obviously, I need to do my homework and my studies in improving my psychological background. That's obviously my responsibility. But it still frustrated me, like, why not email the correct source? Why me? And then in reading this piece and learning this piece, I think I came up with the answer that I needed to articulate for myself. If these girls want a psychological answer, they can take one of these self-help books that are at the counter at Borders or, you know, one of these stores. That's not what they're looking for. What they're looking for is the Derech HaTorah, and how do you answer this? How do you deal with anxiety if you believe Hashem is running the world? How do you deal with this mother who is so domineering and so, I can almost use the word oppressive, when there's a mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em? And what they're not asking for so much is the halacha. That's the rabbi's domain. But what is the mindset of Torah? What's the Torah approach? And that's what we need to sensitize ourselves to in this world. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu. This is our lives. How to think along a Torah mindset, a Torah world. And that is what we got at Ma'amad Har Sinai. So then the question you may ask, my friends, is, well, how do we think along these lines? How do we live on a life of 50? So I think that leads us to our third approach, Source 26, Na'os Desha. Na'os Desha points out here the very famous piece from the Maharsha, where the Maharsha says the following. He says in Source number 26, V'kavana b'zeh l'fi sh'lo hayu Yisrael az ru'yim l'chokhmat ha-Torah, ad sh'itaruvi k'chu atzma mikol tumot mitzrayim, sh'yatzu misham. Klal Yisrael could only get the Torah once they have purified themselves from the impurity of Egypt. As we know, only one who's really worked on the Yirah Shamayim, on their fear of heaven and fear of sin, will their Torah, will their Chachmah have any sense of standing, of validity. V'alkein haita tara b'mispar shiva shavuot. And that's why they had to have these 7 weeks. And yet that still wasn't enough. They needed to have that extra day to finish off their tara, to finish off their purity. And this is why we can say, on the sixth day of Sivan, the Magen Avraham's question, the Zman Matan Torateinu, but did we not get the Torah on the seventh of Sivan? The answer is, we began to get the Torah on the sixth of Sivan. We began the process, because the real process to receive the Torah correctly is to work on Yirat Shamayim, is to work on preparing ourselves to receive the Torah. And that's why Na'os Desha points out in 29 that if a person's whole goal in learning is just to add wisdom, learn another page, without working on improving their midos and improving their Yirat Shamayim, so their chachma, their learning, is not going to really be well established. Our first and foremost job is to work on working on our midos, working on being a kli, a vessel, a vehicle, so that Torah can indeed be found within us. And this is a beautiful insight of the Sifti Chaim in Source 28, where he says, but did not HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tell us the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, the 3 days of preparation before Mount Sinai? I mean, how much preparation do you need? So explains, and this is Gevaldik insight. Rav Friedlander says, Ulam hachana chayavet lavo dafka mitzad ritzon v'argoshe ishi chalam akabel. To really be an open receptacle and vessel to receive Torah, it's not enough that Hashem commands us to receive Torah. We, from our own volition, have to say, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to have that understanding that if we don't prepare ourselves from our point of view, then it's not going to have a lasting effect. Moshe Rabbeinu adding a day is the representation of us, the Mekablim, the receiver. Understanding that Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's very nice you told us to prepare. But we need to understand that we feel the need to prepare ourselves. Because Torah is so incredibly large. and so incredibly transforming, as we've seen, that unless I am ready to receive the Torah, there's going to be no kli, no vessel to be able to have Torah within me. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu adds this extra day. And it's a day of preparation. It's a day where we say, Hashem, we know you're giving us incredible Shefa 31, incredible Ha'aras, incredible energy. But we need to prepare ourselves to be able to take that energy and make it ours, to take that energy and transform it into something that's part and parcel of our being. As we say in the first capital of Tehillim, Ki b'Torat Hashem chafso, if your desire is the Torah of Hashem, then in His Torah you are going to dwell. It has to become the Torah of a personal nature. That's the challenge. And that's the idea of how do you make Torah, this whole Weltanschauung yours? You have to be open to receive Torah. And that component is to work on our Yiras Shamayim, to work on our awe, our understanding of what it means to have a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the idea that's brought down in 35 in Alekach Valivu, perhaps the most essential source for us. Vaydaber Elokim called Rimei Lemor, and God said all of these things, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. Explains Rabbi Elimelech Melezinsk, Zchutoy Yakein Aleinu, Shetachlik Kol Adorim. Hashem spoke all of these words. What is the purpose of all these words? What's the purpose of all of Torah? To recognize that I am Hashem your God, to come to Yirat Shamayim. And in all of our learning Torah, it has to be that the learning brings us to a level of Hakara Sabore. And that's why, recognition of Hashem. And that's why the Sfasemis points out, in the asterisk in 35, that Torah is from the word Ora, which is the word Yira, that the Torah enlightens our eyes to be able to see Hashem, and He is leading us and watching over us and giving us sustenance in every single moment. How do we come to this mindset? It's about recognizing that we need to expand the reality of this world. The reality of being a Torah Jew is not just mitzvos. It's thinking like a Torah Jew. And the way we think like a Torah Jew is to feel Hashem's presence at all times. To recognize that the whole Yesod, the whole foundation of the Aseret HaDibrot is Kol HaDvarim, Lemor, to say over and over again to ourselves, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to be able to see in every experience in the world, to be able to see in every time we learn the hand of Hashem, the feeling of Hashem, the whole essence of Hashem's presence in our lives. And that, my friends, is really the essence of what Naaseh V'Nishma is about. When the Jewish people said, we will do and we will listen. Naaseh V'Nishma is really about, we are ready to commit to a life of recognition of Hashem at all times. The fantastic piece in Rav Freifeld Shmuzim, in source number 39, he says, what does Naaseh V'Nishma mean? Let's begin with NASA, we will do. If we sit down and take stock of our days, I mean really take stock, we'll find that we do very little in the real sense of the word. Doing means being productive, being creative, producing results that are worthwhile and meaningful. Walking around and producing movements of our body do not qualify as doing. And it continues in 40. Take a look around you at our society, and you will see that most people are living and working and doing things that do not bring them any real benefit. They are not producing and are even counterproductive. Why do they do these things? Because contemporary culture expects it of them. But what's called NASA doing? I'll give you an example. Ever knows that there are times in life when a person has to do something that he really doesn't want to do. He may have offended someone and has to apologize. He may be in a position where he has to do a chesed for somebody that he'd rather not be doing right then and there. But he does it anyway because he knows it's the right thing to do. He swallows the pride and apologizes. He overcomes his reluctance and does the chesed. Afterward, when the deed is done, he feels good about it. He gets a sense of inner satisfaction that goes beyond pride and relief. That inner feeling emanates from the core of his being. It's the ultimate proof that he did was absolutely right. That's called Nasa. We live in a world that we act usually out of laziness, boredom, foolishness, manipulation. But we don't do things out of pure bechira, out of pure free will. And that's the satisfaction of the neshama. So often in life, we're doing things just because we've been doing them for so many years. But is that really cool doing? Doing is using our bechira, our free will, to say, I want to have a relationship with Hashem, and therefore I'm going to say this blessing right now. It transforms a blessing. You know, it's about that story I'm sure many of us are familiar with, of the wagon driver who picks up a passenger and he sits in the back seat. And the passenger sees way down the road there's a big ditch. So he says to the driver, you know, be careful, way down the road there's a big ditch. And the driver looks back at him and says, Mister, I've been driving for 30 years. Of course I know there's a ditch there. Okay? And they're driving on, he's going like straight toward the ditch. And the passenger's getting a little nervous, you know, the backseat driver. I told you there's a ditch coming up. And he's a little bit more irate. I've been driving for 30 years. I know how to drive. Don't tell me how to drive. Of course I know there's a ditch there. And, you know, it goes on a number of times until ultimately the driver goes right into the ditch. And then the driver says, you know, I've been driving for 30 years. And, you know, for 30 years I've been going into this ditch. That's us. We're well aware of it. We know the ditches in the road. And we're told. And we still go into the ditches. We don't act out of our bechira, out of our free will. That's nasa, in awareness of Hashem in our lives. And nishma is likewise like this. The other part, 41, nishma, hearing, is a bit more difficult to understand. True hearing is a kind of delicate art. The term nishma refers to penetrative hearing, deep hearing. It refers to hearing what's what with us and what's what with the world. It involves asking yourself, where am I? What am I doing? What's my situation? Where do I stand my relationship to myself? Not to the Chafetz Chaim, not to the Chazon Ish, not to the Ger Rebbe, but to myself. What and where should I be? Where do I stand in relationship to the world around me? Where do I stand in relationship to the Almighty? Difficult questions, but questions that must be asked. Questions that must be answered, and answers that must be heard. This is what Adam HaRishon asked. This is what Adam HaRishon was asked by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ayaka, where are you? You've been lost. Shema Yisrael, it's about listening. And he says, in the arrow in 42, I think back where Freifeld itself says, in my own experience, when I finally began to make something of my life, and I can identify the day. In those days, I was in yeshiva surrounded by a group of brilliant near geniuses. These were my friends, my associates, my role models, and I tried to pattern myself after them. And then one day, I sat down in the room by myself, put my head in my hands, and had a heart-to-heart talk with myself. You are not brilliant, I told myself. You're not a genius, nor a near genius. You have to be who you are. You have to start your learning from the fundamentals, and you work your way up. There are no shortcuts for you. Believe me, the experience was painful. I felt as if a dagger had been plunged into me, but it was my day of liberation, my personal exodus. That day was a turning point in my life. I listened, and I heard. If you listen to yourself with honesty, courage, and humility, if you come to the Almighty without self-deception, then you could begin to have a relationship with Him. You have to hear, you have to be honest, and you have to be without fear. And then Hashem says, yes, without fear, there's nothing to fear. The Almighty provides each person with incredible powers to grow spiritually and prosper regardless of the inborn talents and skills. Every day the Almighty pours vast amounts of strength into the cosmos and declares, come to me, I'll give you everything you need. This is what David HaMelech says in 43. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Malcha Meretz Yitzrayim Harachayv Picha Vamalehu. I am God, your Lord, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Wine in your mouth, and I will fill it. 44, the Almighty says to us, I am the God that took you out of Egypt. I perform miracles. I'm the Nosein Layayev Koach. I'm the one who gives strength to the exhausted. So now I say to you again, whatever exile you find yourself in now, whatever the nature of your personal Egypt, whether it's of your own making or not, I'm there to extract you from it. I'm there to give you the strength to overcome, the strength to succeed when you thought failure was inevitable. Harchev picha, open your mouth wide, stretch a little more widely than you normally do, and I will fill it. I will give you the strength you need to succeed. You cannot imagine the extent of the human potential when the Almighty pours His strength into you. You have to have emunah, faith, and open your mouth wide, so to speak, and you'll receive fantastic reservoirs of strength. When we're talking about that it's a system of 50 of Torah, and Torah is about the recognition of Yirat Shamayim, the day of preparation, that's Man Torateinu. That on the sixth day we recognize that we need to prepare ourselves, and the preparation itself is Torah, is the receiving of Torah. The preparation allows us to have the Yirat Chei, to have that awe of standing in Hashem's presence, of recognizing that every step of the way is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you're in Hashem's presence, you feel Hashem whatever you do. And the way to live that life is Nasa, to make decisions based on Bechira, on free choice, and Nishma, in being able to really listen and hear the world around you. And when you're able to do this, my friends, you're able to see that the place to start from, the place to really begin a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is within yourself. Harchei ficha v'amaleihu. Expand your own reality, and I'll fill you up. Rabbi Tauber, in source number 48, quotes from his Rebbe, Rav Weissmandel, on Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, that Derech Eretz begins with knowing ourselves, recognizing our greatness. Once we've established that, then we can have the ability to appreciate and embrace Torah. And this is why the Sichur Yitzchak points out that the war of Amalek happened before we received the Torah. And we know that the name of Hashem is not full until we eradicate Amalek. A deeper idea of this idea is that the name of Hashem is found within each and every one of us in 49. Amalek tries to come along and erase that feeling and understanding that Hashem is found within us. That we have chashivas, that we have importance, that Hashem is so close and personal to each and every one of us. And that is the idea that the Omer begins with Omer HaTnufa. And you have the Hanafas, you have the waving by the Bikurim as well. What is Tnufa about in source number 49? Two words, Tnu Peh, give your mouth. The waving in the different directions is the expansiveness. It's a recognition that I can take what I have and I'm really much greater than I give myself credit for. And the more that I open myself up, the more Hashem can fill me. And that, my friends, is the secret of Shavuos. Shavuos is about not just I'm reenacting receiving of the Torah, but I'm reenacting the personal relationship that Hashem has with each and every one of us. All of our neshamas was there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shavuos turns to each and every one of our neshamas by morning, whether we're awake or conscious or not, and asks us, are you ready to say Naseh V'Nishma? Are you ready to have this relationship with Hashem? Are you ready to really get to know who you are? At Shavuos morning, we respond, yes. Shavuos, I stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'm ready to expand myself. I'm ready to show you that I, the entirety of my being, wants to embrace a system of Torah, wants to change and transform my entire life. And when I am ready to say, there's a lot more in me, and I'm ready to develop all that is found within me, when I am ready to open myself up, then Hashem says there's a tremendous amount of shefa, of goodness, of abundance that He's ready to bless upon us that will be met with success. And here the Sichur Yitzchak on the next page says, therefore, our job in source number 53 is to have tremendous hachana, lachina tzvo b'hachana derab alikras kabal satorah. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to expand ourselves. That we should act on a higher level. That we should be makabel, that we should accept upon ourselves kabalos chadashot, new kabalos, new aspects to become even better. Kenu zocher, to the extent we open ourselves up, that on Shavuos v'amaleihu, Hashem will fill us up, o mashpi aleinu kol minei hashpaos tovos, to give us all these great hashbos. And don't say, well, I've lived 50 Shavuot since and I haven't had it. That's a Yetzer Hara. Start now. Be able to prepare ourselves now, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and say, what am I going to work on that's going to expand myself? How am I going to become a greater Torah personality so that I can open myself up to living the world of the 50 and benefiting from that closeness to Hashem on that world? And that's why he notes in Source 55, Rashi Meir Zilberberg, that you can choose from a whole array of things. He speaks about that you learn with greater hasmada, with greater exactitude, that you work on your Yetzer Hara, that it doesn't affect you in certain areas, which means you work on your midos, that you don't get angry so often, you judge people for the benefit of the doubt, you work on your purity, you work on pure eyes, you work on a pure mouth, you work on amunah and bitachon, you work on everything that God gives you is for the best. You work on understanding and appreciating Shabbos more, Yontif more, every mitzvah more. I mean, the list is endless. But let's just take one from that list. Let's say we work on everything that Hashem does is for the best. That's not a mitzvah necessarily, but it's a mindset. We work on judging people for the benefit of the doubt. Yes, it's a mitzvah. It's also a mindset. That's what we're working on in Shavuos. It's not just becoming a technically better, more observant person. And I think that this is, personally, I find one of our challenges in today's day and age where students will ask me, okay, Mrs. Miles, where does it say it? It's not everything about where does it say it. It may say it. It may not say it. Who cares? I mean, of course, who cares? Of course we care. But it's more than that. It's about thinking like a Jew. It's feeling like a Jew. It's living like a Jew. Shavuos is, yes, about hakpada and mitzvot. 100%. You need the 49 days. You need the mitzvot. And you need to take upon yourself to be more careful in X, Y, and Z. But it's also about taking upon ourselves Torah. That the time of Zman Natan Torateinu had to be 50 days. That's why it had to be the 51st day of the Omer. There's a concept of the 50, the Nevo, the Nun Bet, the expanding the reality that Torah is a way of thinking. And that this Shavuos, I'm going to take on a certain midah that I'm going to work on, that my thinking will be more aligned the lines of a Torah Jew. And he notes that beware that whatever you take on, there are four major things to keep in mind in 56. One, that you're going to have to work very hard on major things and on minor things. Two, you're going to have a lot of battles. Three, you're going to fall a lot. And four, you need to pray a lot. Again, you'll have a lot of, you'll have to work hard in major and minor things to get your results. You're going to have a lot of battles. Three, you're going to have a lot of stumbling blocks. And four, you're going to have to daven a lot. But recognize, he says, that every time that we want to make a midah part of us, we want to integrate something into us, it's written down in heaven how much we're going to have to try, how many battles we're going to have, how many stumblings we're going to have, and how much davening we're going to have to do. And when we've reached that mark, then it becomes ours, which means it's very exciting. So I say that I'm not going to, you know, I work on anger for 2 hours during the day, from 4 to 6, and boom, I get angry. So instead of saying to myself, okay, I'm a loser, I can't do anything, I say, no, whoa, that's part of the protocol. And God knows how many times I'm going to get angry and I'm going to fall, or how many times I'm going to struggle. Okay, I can mark that one off. There may be, you know, 720 left. There may be 40 more left. I don't know. But each time I'm going to mark one down so I know I'm one closer to being there and being successful. Life is a process. Life is a process in 58 of Vayehi Erev Vayehi Boker. It was night and it was day. Darkness and then night. Eish Chora Gabei Eish Levana. The Torah is written black fire on white fire. We have to go through the difficulty in order to have the clearing. And as Rav Freifeld notes in Source 59 in the asterisk, what determines if a person's success or failure in life, if you have a good relationship with the Almighty, your life is a success. If your relationship with the Almighty is dynamic, organic, vibrant, creative, if it's a living, moving, and growing connection, then you're successful in life. Otherwise, you're a failure. Otherwise, you will have lived in vain. It's as simple as that. And therefore, my friends, in summation, as we approach Shavuos, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that we wouldn't accept the Torah and the whole world would come back to Tohu Vavohu. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the world a favor. Let's wait one more day. And we're remembering the way we were Mekabel the Torah Beratzon. There's a love, there's a desire. On the second level, there had to be 50 complete days from Pesach till Shavuos, because that's the world of Torah, that's the world of freedom, and real freedom is the next world almost. It's the world of the Yovel, the Jubilee, where everyone goes back to their makor, to their source. It's the world of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it wasn't 50 complete days. He had to add a day. We say Zman Matan Torah Teinu, the Magen Avraham's question, it means it's the time that we were meant to receive the Torah by counting 50 days from us, 50 days from our Pesach experience. But understand that there's a 50-day count which we don't articulate in the world of thought. There's a 49-day count in the world of the reality. That's mitzvos. We need to have both Torah mitzvos, Chukim Mishpatim Otanim Limadata, but we need to expand our reality. The world of Torah is not just do's or don'ts. It's how do you think like a Jew to sleep in a room with the mezuzah. We're all surrounded by that mindset. That's what we have to work on, to think our Weltanschauung to be like a Torah Jew. How do we reach this? The Maharsha. We needed that extra day to prepare. That extra day, the Sifti Chaim, had to come from us. We need to recognize that we need to prepare. When we celebrate Shavuos on 6th of Sivan, we're celebrating the preparation of the Jewish people, which in order for our Chochma to be able to have a kiyum, it needs to have that preparation, that hachana. How do we work on this? It's Yirat Shamayim. It's feeling the presence of Hashem. It's Naaseh V'Nishma. It's really acting. It's really listening. It's not falling into that same ditch for the 30 years over and over again. And the way to be successful with that is to realize Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Look how great we are. Harchev Picha V'Amalehu. Open up your mouth and Hashem says, I'll fill it. Expand your reality. Recognize that you're greater than you are. We have to, when we are preparing for Shavuos, ask ourselves, because we know Shavuos, all of our ruchnius, all of our spirituality for our year, it's being judged. It's our Rosh Hashanah. How many times are we being inspired? How many times are we going to feel close to Hashem? It's all being judged on Shavuos. We have to show Hashem how much we love Torah, how it's our ratzon, our desire. This is what we want. We're preparing ourselves and we're ready to commit in both the areas of the 49 of the mitzvot, as well as the area of the 50 of the Torah, to think like a Torah Jew. And when we understand that we're ready to commit and ready to take on more, knowing the challenges and knowing we're going to fall and knowing we're going to struggle and knowing all of this, then at least we're in a vibrant relationship with Hashem. We're alive. And then when we're harcheis picha, when we expand ourselves, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless us with, and this is the blessing I bless all of us with, that we should be successful in the Harchev Picha, that we expand our reality, we expand who and what we are in our definition and relationship with Hashem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench us with Vamalehu. He will fill us with all the Ruchnius and all the Gashmius, with the goodness, the Shefa, the bounty in the spiritual and the physical world, that we will indeed be able to be successful and we will be able to live lives that embrace both Torah and mitzvot, the 49 as well as the 50.